sound, and the heart makes as she goes away. And we said, love is louder than men and all this. Love is
Yeah, this is a kind of a song that the crowd just starts singing with, whether he wants it or not. Let me just say, Craig Cardiff is here in the house. CraigCardiff.ca. Juno nominated artist Craig Cardiff is he's got this following throughout North America and into Europe, and it's huge. With guitar in hand, Craig can turn any setting into an intimate affair. I've seen it live in person, infusing his music and lyrics with an uncompromising humanism rarely seen in today's production-heavy climate. True story. Songwriter, troubadour, Craig Cardiff builds landscapes of sound using live digital loops, bringing the room to a hush. Craig Cardiff. Dude, how are you?
Very good. How are you?
Well. When was the last time you did an interview?
Oh, gosh.
Been a while?
It's been a while. A good one.
Yeah.
I've given some really quick ones.
Yeah, but those are useless, eh?
Well, it's hard with some newer writers, especially where they're just learning. And,
yeah.
And so you end up reading back your Wikipedia page to them and you're like, anyways, but it's nice to have an opportunity to actually talk about the songs and play them. And
yeah.
I appreciate that.
I've been trying to figure out why. Like, I'm not a fanboy of much. I just don't get that way. But I've become... Let me just tell you that I care about Tim so much. Tim does so much work here in the studio. If I didn't have Tim, I don't know where I'd be. Tim the Tool.
With your guitar and your dog.
I'd be... Yeah, can you change that?
Yes.
So I don't come back on that. Anyway, where was I? Craig Cardiff. So someone told me about your stuff, and I went, oh, okay, fine, I'll listen. And it was that song that kind of grabbed me, and I think it was relatable to me because I'm very aware of the noise, both within my head and outside. And the only thing that quietens down the noise for me is when I'm able to focus on something like love. And this song came, from what I understand, some lady had this as a tattoo.
Yeah, it started, so it was... Apache tour across Canada that started in Atlantic Canada. It was in Wolfville. One of the openers had love tattooed on just the inside of her arm.
Yeah.
And I was just working on this album and writing and kind of broke and like financially just like trying to get money to pay to get the next part of it made and so on. And so this tour started out east. And I just saw that, and that was like the beginning of it. And then there was a stop in Saskatchewan, and then Vancouver Island. And it kind of got finished on the ferry, going back to mainland. And it was just the idea of like, just kind of letting go of all of it, or like admitting to my own noise, because it's you get into this habit of writing about trying to capture other people's songs, and also not wanting to get in the trap of being biographical all the time. So
yeah,
that was the idea.
What's wrong with you?
So much. Our grandma lived with us, which was a blessing, but basically whenever my parents would leave the room, there was an indoctrination to be a doctor for me as male, and then my three sisters to be nurses. So I'm a failed doctor. Let's just start right there.
You are a
failed doctor. I tried 1 year organic chemistry. It handed it to me.
And those people will be on later in the show.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it failed them, too, and they came back to it through a different route. They're like, this is what I wanted to do. What's wrong with me? There's that. It took me a long time to get to the place where I knew I loved music, but I always, like, wouldn't commit to it. So I was lucky I had really great jobs, and so the idea of doing music full-time felt silly. And so I didn't ever think it was an option or pursue it until... the last job I had, I was on parental leave with my kidlet, and she, and basically the funding for the program folded.
Right.
And so from that, it was like, okay, well, it's not an option anymore to have 1 foot in, 1 foot out. So that's another thing that's wrong with me. It took me too long. What else? I don't know. I'm sure other stuff will come up.
Are you happy where you're at in life right now? And are you content? Two different things.
Yeah. I feel lucky. That's the constant feeling of like, this is amazing. Like, you know, I was in Hong Kong to do workshops and write songs and to be part of this fundraising gala. And that was just through people reaching out who are fans through Spotify who had never gotten to meet except for that time. Yeah. You know, those things happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think when I'm not content is where I start looking at what's happening for other people. And so I have to remind myself to put the blinders on.
Are you saying that you get bummed when you look at the world around you and suffering and that kind of thing? Or like personal?
I wish it was that noble. It was more like the state of things in terms of the time that I've spent writing and touring and playing music for people. And would I like more people to hear it? And yeah, definitely I get bummed about what's happening in the world. Sometimes it feels, and I don't go down this too often, but it feels almost silly to create art when there's so much craziness happening. And even like getting in a car sometimes, you know, it's a conversation I had 10 years ago with a fellow who was opening up for a bunch of shows in the US. And he's like, this, us moving our bodies around to show up and play songs for people is not going to be sustainable always. You know, it's going to come a point where we have to change the way we do it. And
comparatively, it's lunacy. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a certain insanity when you contrast that which you get to do with that which people have to do.
I wouldn't. Why lunacy?
Because there's a frivolous aspect to this. You're strumming some strings and being a court jester in some ways, and maybe you're helping society with a little pressure release, you know, whatever escapism thing. But in the meantime, blah, blah, blah is going on in the world.
Yes. I wouldn't say lunacy. Like, that's where I turn myself around, where I'm like, why am I here? Like, where there's, you know, there's times you'll show up for shows, and in spite of all good planning, it doesn't work. Like, there's a Rough Riders game or whatever happens that just changes everything. Here's a perfect example. Peterborough. I showed up in Peterborough at Trent for a workshop and a gig. The workshop was great. The gig was so-so, but I remember being so fussy and like commenting. Luckily not to the presenter because they were wonderful, just new. And I just said, you know, the posters weren't up, blah, blah, blah. What am I doing here? And I remember in the book that I pass around at shows, getting a note back from somebody talking about that they'd attempted, this was like the best thing, they were looking forward to this show, and they'd attempted suicide the previous semester, and they were like really being careful with their time and like making sure that they connected with art that they loved. And it was like this older uncle brother universe hitting me on the head saying, get over yourself. And like that night was just about that. But then I trip over myself about rationalizing. Right, like where it's like, well, then I'm just rationalizing everything, and then I fall back into it.
Okay, shut up, and let's play a song.
Sure.
And when we come back from this song,
do we want to write a song together? I think we should. We could write a song.
But this is the freak showish nature of yours that I don't.
Well, can we
stop using those words?
Yeah, lunacy and freak show feels like a little bit.
Lunacy freak show.
I think you're taking positions.
How come I can't hear your guitar? What's different? Oh, that's why.
My volume wasn't on.
Okay.
So what do you want to hear?
Well, let's just do a song first, and then we'll get into this ad libby improv-y stuff that you do. Because that is the freak show-ish aspect of you. So you do what you want to do. Do you have something that you want to...
This is a new song.
There it is.
That's coming out on the 26th of October. It's called To Be Safe, Loved and Home. And the root of it started from the Polish proverb, not my monkeys, not my circus.
Live on the Drew Marshall Show.
You're going to sing along?
Yes.
And the interns will sing along too?
No.
To be safe, to be loved, to be home. To be safe, to be loved, or to be home. Not my monkeys, not my circus,
I believe what you will deserve, an open heart. And all the words that we tried to write down did not have the fight well in our hearts. Did not believe them. And I said, I know sadness is not sad. I know tired, this is not tired. All I need is for you to sing three things to me. To be safe, to be loved, to be home. To be safe, to be loved, to be home. To be safe, to be loved, to be home. To be safe, to be loved, going to be home. Toss a coin into the air and then you'll see what you care about and what your heart, your heart believes in. We said, not my monkeys, not my circus. I believe what you, oh, what you deserve, an open heart. And I said, I know sad, oh, this is not sad. No tired, this is not tired. All I need is for you to sing three things to be. To be safe, to be loved, to be home. To be safe, to be loved, to be home. To be safe, to be loved, to be home. To be safe, oh, and to be loved now, to be home. Knowing all the times you turn the radio up or drown the static, and all the times you I said, I know sad is not sad. I know tired is not tired. All I need is for you to sing three things to me. To be safe, to be loved, to be home. To be safe, and to be home. To be safe, to be loved, oh, to be home. To be safe, oh, to be loved, to be home.
There he is, Craig Carter from the Drew Marshall Show, buddy. Good to have you. Nice to have you, by golly, as they say in the North Country there. It's live on the Drew Marshall Show, devoted solely to the art of music. Craig is an Ottawa boy. You weren't born and raised there, though, were you?
Grew up in Waterloo, but I've been in Ottawa for the last 15, 16 years.
Are you Mennonite?
No.
He says with disdain.
I know a lot of Mennonites.
Why Ottawa?
Work. Just followed work. I got a job at the university there. And
you teach at a university?
Nope. I worked at
the university. You were a janitor?
Nope.
So how about I just shut up and let you answer the question?
In the middle. I was at the University of Waterloo. I helped with the booking, and that's kind of how I got started into music outside of performing.
Oh, okay.
And then at the University of Ottawa, I did that and marketing stuff and then just other jobs and kind of stayed.
Speaking of booking, I want to give a shout out to Jesse.
Yes.
What a good guy.
An amazing guy.
For him to put up with my nonsense.
Vice. No, like.
What?
It was
what?
It was our
what?
On our end. It was on
Stop
our end.
Stop it! No, I mean I can be a little
difficult.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Tim's like montage to support group.
CraigCardiff.ca, Cardiff spelt like Wales. Wait, don't type in W-A-L. Never mind. CraigCardiff.ca. Okay, the freakish aspect of you is your improvishness. Just making up stuff now.
Ironical.
It's ironical. So there are two things that I have experienced at your gigs. One is you pass around a book.
Yes.
Or many books.
Yes.
They're little lined pieces of paper and pens. You asked me. You roped me into that. Dude, thanks for coming. Here, pass these out. I felt like I walked into an Amway convention. Just kidding. And no, I was thrilled to do this because the gold nuggets that you can get out of that, mm-hmm. those books,
yep.
It's a twofold thing. You're genuinely letting people pour, like just kind of puke on a page.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take that vomit and I don't know how to finish this.
Turn it into a diamond.
Yes.
No, well, it didn't start off like that. It was because I was meeting people who had, you know, you meet people and because I think partially because you're leaving, so you're not part of the community that they're connected with. It's part of it. So you're less likely to judge or be part of like their connected system.
Yeah.
And because any good performance, whoever it is, it's always emotional. And so people would come up after shows and be like, I need to tell you the story. And I'd be like, oh. They should have been up on stage. They were amazing. And so that's where it started. Like, that's the idea behind it of just, and also like lots of reasons. Nobody's 100%. None of us are honest really without agenda, even to ourselves. And so the idea of, you know, that asking for that, people are like, whoa, it's crazy.
Okay, hold on. I just realized that I know what I'm talking about and you know what I'm talking about, but our listeners may not know what we're talking
that's
about.
Right.
So set this up.
So the project just started by accident, and the project is called Books of Truth, and it's on its fifth year, 5.5 years. The idea is just passing around books at shows, asking for people to anonymously write something true. So whether it's, you know, sometimes there's prompts to get people out of kind of darker paths. So your first kiss or your best time, the hardest thing. There was a bad date. Dark path that happened for a while where people were like lining up after shows saying like I need the book and like there's oversharing of information. So that was kind of like let's steer away from that back to first kisses and
really
and prom date. Yeah. So the idea is just to write something true and something that other people might not know. And what I think is cool is that it travels. So it goes wherever there's a show. You know, it goes and connects with people in the next town. So it just feels like something special. I feel like a curator.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, these are books that were none of it, and then now they're in Halifax, and now they're in
okay.
Oakville.
Have you picked up any mega themes? Like the people from Oakville, do they write, oh, I didn't make enough money this week, and the people from Nunavut saying, you know.
No. The thing, there's just the ache, like ache and joy. So the idea that you walk into a room and we can pretend to know who is what and guess. And there's just like this huge valley of ache and all these peaks of joy. Where, you know, I mean, you'd look out in the audience, you'd be like, I don't think there's going to be that much ache in this audience or that much joy.
And then,
like, you read about it and people are like, well, maybe they're lying. And I'm like, well, it'd have to be quite a great, you'd have to have experience in the thing to be able to lie about it so well sometimes.
Ooh, that's
you know?
Good. Wow. So, that's pretty gracious. And the other thing is, why would people lie anonymously, I guess? And
I mean, there's other forums. I mean, it's like people who come to the shows with printouts and I'm like, oh, just come in. And they're like, but you have to check. I'm like, it's a folk music show. Like, if you're scamming your way in here, like, good for you. Like, you know, if this is your racket, like, let's have a conversation after because your skills could be put better.
It's like putting Canadian Tire money in the offering.
Did this happen? You're like, I can't buy bubblegum with this. What is this garbage?
How can I buy friendship with this? Now, the other thing that I saw you do this. Is you had couples, it was a Valentine's deal, and I was the only schmuck sitting there in the corner by himself. I didn't have enough gum that week. And you had them share their love story.
The idea with that was just to write, I don't know if this happened, I don't think it can happen to you because you have new content that you're always having to push through. You can't, it's hard to go on autopilot in
right,
this environment.
Right,
sometimes
yeah.
that shows you can go on autopilot, so... The idea was to not be able to go on autopilot. And
so forcing yourself not to go on autopilot.
Yeah, to scare myself.
Okay.
And so that was the idea.
And so people share their love story, and then you go, hey, thanks for sharing. And then you sing them a stinking song that has their love story in it.
It's also because I think that what happens is with songs is that when they're yours, when it's your writing or your poetry or your song, we're so precious with it, where we sit there and we're worried about releasing it and we get halfway through and don't finish it. Whereas if we disconnect our own worry or ego from it, then it's easier to get to like the beautiful part. I think, and so that's part of it. And also just like, yeah, I think in the moment there's better things that come up that get ruined in engineer, like the refining, like
yeah.
That you'll never come up with, and working off an audience. Like, so yeah, if you want to do one now, you can write one.
Okay. Let's do it now. Ready? Okay. Go.
I need a pen.
Got a pen right here.
All right. Here we go.
Do you need something?
No, I got a book.
You got a book?
Sure do.
So I didn't think I don't remember you doing this last time, cheating with like writing down stuff. I don't remember you cheating.
I don't know if it was cheating. Can we?
Yes.
Can we write? Can you
yes.
help me write the love song?
Yes.
Okay. So
me and Drew.
No, I don't want him involved at all.
Tim, can we? I need to know. So we'll write a song for. Can we write it for a person?
Sure.
Okay. Who is it for?
My daughter, who just texted me.
Okay. Tell me about your first memory of picking her up. Her name?
Of picking her up?
Yes.
My
when
daughter?
When you first held her.
Picked her up. Okay. we're not in Alabama here.
Colloquialism.
When I picked her up, I wasn't sure I could love another human being the way I loved my son, the firstborn. So.
What's his name?
Josh. Her name's Jess. Oh, isn't that cute? So, yeah, I hate to admit that, but I was not overcome with joy and bliss and whatever else.
But you held her?
I held her.
Where were you?
At the hospital.
Which one?
Standby. Orangeville.
Checking.
Orangeville.
Tell me what it is to be a dad. How did that shift for you?
For the first time, forced me to face my selfishness and narcissism and laziness and social atrophy.
Explain social atrophy?
I just did what I wanted to do whenever I wanted to do, and that doesn't sound like atrophy, but it really is.
So, okay. When did she... What was the first time that she broke your heart?
Oh, dude. Dude! Serious?
My daughter broke my heart so many times. The first was where she like slapped my hand away in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Leaving with pizza. Where I'm like, excuse me? Parking lot? My hand? Like,
yeah.
She's like, no, I don't need it. I'm like,
ooh. Yeah.
You got beat that. You got something better than that.
Yeah.
Well, I think when you find out, when I found out she lied to me, right? The deception, the initial deception, my child would never lie to me.
Tell me about it. What happened?
I don't remember the specifics of the first lie. It had to do with where she was, you know, hanging out with friends and, you know, so that's she's a social freak show. She's an Enneagram 7 enthusiast.
What shifted for you in becoming a dad to a daughter? Like, what's different than being a dad to a son? Because I don't have that experience.
Protectionism. I wanted to annihilate any males that came anywhere near her. Yeah.
And how did you... So how did that...
I can't tell you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because
there's not supposed to be any evidence.
Right. So...
It backfired.
How? Talk about that.
She was bugged at me because I was in her business too much and I was overprotective. And so she, what did she do? She lied more. You know, she snuck around as a young teenage girl.
What are you, how old is she now?
25.
25, what is she doing now?
Hairdresser. Duh. Look.
rebelling at every turn. what are you the most proud of her? Like, what aspect, what achievement, what?
She can, she does, how do I say this? The thing I'm the most proud of her about is the thing I'm the most frustrated with myself about, which is I need to lighten up and I need to not take things like get upset over. She just doesn't get it. She's just stinking lighthearted joy.
What do people say? What did you call her when she was a baby? What was the nickname?
Goose.
That's a good nickname. Did she sleep well?
Yeah, she sleeps really well, and I hate her for it.
Good sleeper?
Yeah.
What else? Why a love song for Jess?
Because she's been my nemesis, and now I live with her.
Why your nemesis?
Because I've wanted to throttle her, like Bart and Homer. My son was the easy one, you know? He was the good child. And my daughter was like me. My daughter and I are way too similar. Way. We will say things at the same time, look at each other, and then punch each other because we said the same thing, and it grosses both of us out.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Can I bother you to help just hold this?
I can. Tim's got it. Yeah. Tim's got it.
So I need to learn to write neater. And
that's okay.
That's the part of the doctor you didn't fail.
Yeah. That's exactly. Thanks, Grandma.
Thanks. Oh man,
we need a chorus. We need a chorus. What would you want her to know today? Like that you would want to say to her if you couldn't speak to her for a while, for a year.
No, don't say that.
But I'm just saying. I'm trying to get that out. What's important for the thing? What's the thing between you that only she would know? That only you and she would know. An expression, a saying.
Love you. Bye.
Okay.
We just need some guitar for some reason again. Did you? Oh, there we go. Yeah.
They don't always work out either. It's important to
don't back the truck up now.
Oh well, you came. Oh well, you went. What was the expression again?
Love you. Bye.
Love you, bye. Do you guys rush each other off the phone?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, well, you came. Oh, well, you went. Yes, it's the way it is, just so. Here is a song. Here is a song for you. Not as easy as oh, your brother, but I tell you how much I love. Even though sometimes it's like Bart and Homer, I'm not supposed to say it, but I like to throttle. Oh, I love you, bye. Oh, I love you, bye. I love you, by oh. I go silent, you goodbye, goodbye. Do you mind turning the page to the or the other way? Peas and pod, I don't think that you know how I felt in Orangeville Hospital and holding you. I did not know the soul could hold so much. I did not know I could love you by. Love you bye. Love you bye.
Yeah. Craig Cardiff, ladies and gentlemen. Craig Cardiff.
Awesome.
Oh, you are a big fat jerk.
Why?
you know, just mushy stuff.
I love watching you there. I was watching you, Drew. And it was fascinating to see the effect it had on you. I mean, that's in an awesome way.
Well, yeah.
What a treasure. There's you now have a song.
There's a discombobulation that happens with that kind of stuff, man. And Craig, you know, the trick, what am I trying to say here? You've thrown me off my game, and I hate you. The trick I would imagine for you is to be careful about that which is so, like, I have not seen anyone smash down the fourth wall as quickly as you do with that kind of stuff, right? So we're talking about the entertainment aspect of things and connecting with the audience, and nothing connects with an audience like that. Even the onlookers, the witnesses for something like that, you have them.
Because they're waiting for it to not work. It's like they're waiting. Well, they're waiting for the element of improv.
Oh, is waiting for it to fail?
Some are waiting because they really don't. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if it's going to go off the rails. We just don't know. And so that's what makes it, at least for me, like to wake up. And we spoke about this at the show where the problem becomes gimmickry, where people come and they're like, "Oh, can I have the book? Oh, can you write a song?" And it's like, "Well, we haven't even done the show yet. Like, can I? I know more than two tricks. Like, can I like give me a chance here?"
Excuse me for a second.
No problem.
My daughter is building a fence today. She forgets that I have a radio show every Saturday between 1 and 5.
That's perfect.
And she's texted me and said, "I need your Visa." So, Tim, can you send her the digits on the front and the back and the expiration and the 666 number on the back, please? Mm-hmm. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Drew Marshall Show with Craig Cardiff being our live on The Drew Marshall Show guest, devoted solely to the art of music. And, Craig, do you think there's a God?
I don't know.
Yeah, nor do I. But do you think? Do you hope? Do you think there is? Do you have any? Have you had any spiritual? Because if anybody reeks of, like, what you do penetrates the soul, no question. You can't play humble Canadian humble guy in that stuff.
Well, I think that, I think it's like kindness or joy. I don't connect it. Yeah, I just don't connect it to the idea of a
higher
God.
Power or whatever.
Yeah, I just think it's like I don't know what faith he was, but a minister at Hugh's Room show freaked me out when he came up and he's like, "Don't you see it?" And it was a really good show, and he's like, "Don't you see the light?" And he was just like talking about like
what the light around you or
no everybody. Oh. He's like everybody.
Oh, everyone.
Everybody's singing.
Oh.
And I remember feeling like it was a really good show, like the kind of thing where you're like, if you took all the ingredients apart, it's like, well, it doesn't make sense. But all of them together, you know, it was like nobody wanted to leave.
Yeah.
And I remember that he was talking about that. I asked him what it was like to speak and to give to minister. And he said, at the end, if it's really good, it's just at the end. Like you're just, it's coming through you.
Right.
And that was his piece. But I remember being freaked out when he's like, "Don't you see all the energy?"
I'm right. Like, okay, so let's go to the vessel stuff. Like Dylan, when Dylan is asked about his most prolific songwriting period in his life, he thinks back or looks back on it and goes, "I don't know. I don't know where that came from.
Yeah.
I was just a vessel."
Yeah. Well, I feel like I get where I get tripped up is where I'm like, "Oh, I can't write songs." But and then there's like all this cool stuff happening around me. I was in Weimar, BC, which is this little crazy anarchist town in the Kootenays, and there was a woman who was hitchhiking to the festival I was playing at. I don't know, she was like 60s, late 60s, 70s. She was hitchhiking from Vancouver with a wheelchair, and her name was Eliza. And I remember sitting with her beside her at this stool and just having coffee with her, and just her story, like her stories, and the idea that I, in a different mindset, I would have disconnected and been like, "Well, I'm not going to give you any money," or like create a barrier, like so many of us do.
Yeah.
And then I wrote about this, but the idea, like when our mom was sick for quite a while, and then kind of the last year, she just was very open, and she talked about, we would like, and I have a lot of shame over this, but we tease her about angels. So she's like, "There's angels everywhere, Craig, like they're watching out for us." And so we tease her, because that's what jerk-filled doctors
kids do.
And it was like, "Well, we don't see them, Mom, like maybe it's just the drugs are really good." And she's like, "No, it's like they're just there's people everywhere who are just, if you let them be a story, or if they can be that for you." And I remember having that memory and then sitting with this woman just listening to her talk. Part of the reason she'd come out was for the festival. She always did, because she could pick up extra work.
Yeah.
And I'm like, "You're 70, like nobody's looking after you." She's hitchhiking with a wheelchair, and I'm like, so maybe she's an angel. Like maybe this is like the whole conversation, you know, all she was talking about for the most part was wanting to get access to land to run a place where people, her friends, could come to dry out from Hastings. Huh. And I'm like, and how did you come here? You came here by wheelchair.
See, my brain goes right to, if I wanted to hitchhike, if I had to hitchhike, I would totally grab a wheelchair and hitchhike. Terrible. I'd get way better rides.
Right.
It's like going to Disney World. You go to the front of the queue with a wheelchair.
Yeah, but when you stand up and you're like, shake it off. You
fake it until they're not looking.
Right. And then, you go. I mean, you've completely ruined that experience for me. Thank you very, very much for that. But that's what I'm talking about. That's the cynicism that sits there where I'm like, what's the angle?
Yeah.
What's the angle here? And it's like, what if there's not?
You know? What if there's not an angle?
Yeah.
See, that has to be a mantra for me because I can smell that stuff a mile away. I had a lady 10 years ago on the show. I interviewed her. She was dying of AIDS and cancer. And I helped with a fundraiser. Lady flew up from Washington to sing at it. Hmm. Turned out it was false. Hmm. Like, who does that? And yet it happens again and again and again, and there's always an angle, and yet that jadedness does not help me at all. There's a pride in that, like, ooh, you can't get one by me. I don't know why I got Shaniqua on you there. But.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, sorry, I won't try it. The first day I was traveling, we were not street smart kids, and I remember the first day I'd gone across Canada, and then I was in Southeast Asia. I remember the very first day, in Kuala Lumpur, and I remember meeting these great new people who were just like amazing, inspiring people, and I'm like, oh, like they run a teaching school and I'm gonna get a job. This is everything's just coming together, and they offered to buy me like a drink, a Coke, and like the paper was on the straw. I'm like checking every box. I'm like, I'm kind of a world traveler here, age 19, you know. And then I just remember feeling sick, and like I don't have a full memory, but I remember arguing or telling them I didn't have my passport with me, I didn't know how to play cards, I didn't have any money on me.
Oh.
And I just remember them driving me back, I remember a bridge, and them telling me that they had a gun, they were like, they're gonna kill me, that I wasn't to tell anybody, and that, you know, they pushed me out of the car, and I found a tourist who helped me.
Wow.
But I remember, like, holy Hannah, best lesson for the day of travel, because it created this kind of, for protection, cynicism can be a protection, certainly.
Sure.
But,
well, and also, I mean, you were probably on one of those tours, right? So the lesson learned is don't sign up for a tour run by Cosby.
I was on my own. That was the issue. But,
okay. All right. I tried to fit a Cosby joke in there. Yeah. So the A to B was a little long. To get to the sea.
Maybe like a Jell-O reference in the middle.
Jell-O reference.
You know, like a joiner. But.
Get out of the Jell-O.
Can I just, how do you feel about doing that song?
Sure. But Ohio last November, it was terrible. Well, with the way winter and rain and the snow. Well, they stopped you at the border box. Said what to declare, he said, I don't know what I don't know. But since when is every song an argument? Oh, every word a bomb. Terrible explosions when put together wrong. But I say, I know, I know, I know the words to a lie. I know the words to I was there with you. I wrote them to a meaning. Can you not hear all the sound? That the heart makes as she goes away. And we say love is louder than all this, and love is louder than all this. Love is louder than all noise. Oh, love is louder than all this. Love is louder than all this. Love is louder than all noise. Was your messy heart chosen? Was it overlooked? Are you crazy in the corner? Writing it in your book, well, in a cynic with a cynic's hook, waiting for the sky to fall. Were you to be taken from me by words or by craft or by palms? I would rage into an army I'd bring you back with songs. Lean in. Can you not hear all sound? The heart makes as she goes away. And we said, love is louder than all this, and love is louder than all this. Love is louder than all noise. Oh, love is louder than all this. Love is louder than all this. Love is louder than all noise. Hey, oh, my, my, my. Hey, hey. This moment's happening, we're all in it, oh well. The trick's a recognition, a little perfect soul. Oh, hands up, don't you sleep through it. No one knows how much time. How much time is left? How much time is left? When we say love is louder than all this, love is louder than all this, love is louder than all noise. We say love is louder than all this, and love is louder than all this, love is louder than all noise.
Craig Stinkin' Cardiff. Ladies and gentlemen, Juno nominated Craig Cardiff here on the Drew Marshall Show. What you want to do is, Craig might be visiting your Canadian city before the end of the year. He's got a number of gigs happening. You want to check out his tour dates on his website. And if you can get to the one at Hughes Room Live in Toronto, come on over and say hello to the tall, creepy, white, bald man named Drew, as I will be hanging out. I have a favorite little stool sample at the bar I sit on.
Really?
Yeah, it's just my spot that I sit there, usually with Jane Harbury next to me. So
we've been lucky that that place has stayed.
Oh, so lucky.
Yeah.
So lucky. Well, I mean, there's been a lot of hard work, too, but yeah.
Yes,
yeah. Craig, thank you very, very much.
Thank you very much.
You are on your way to Kitchener tonight to do a gig where?
At the Registry Theater.
Okay.
And, yeah, and then I go back home.
You do not?
I do. I'm picking up my dad. He's going to a trip to Africa next week, and so... He's coming up to, we're going to work on our bees. We keep bees together at my place.
Of course you keep bees.
So he does all the work and I buy the supplies and he chastises me. So it's perfect. Yin-yang.
I was a beekeeper for 4 days at Courtright Conservation Center when I was 17 years old.
How'd it work out?
4 days.
Four solid days. A lot of good learnings, a lot of solid honey collection.
It was so cool to smoke them out and see them chill and then...
They're pretty crazy.
Steal the honey and...
I don't know if that's really... Yeah,
oh,
I guess.
That's not... I shouldn't do that?
Well, I don't know. It depends.
What? What are the rules?
I don't know. I'm getting the stories confused with, like, the stealing from collection, buying bubblegum piece. Bring it back.
Listen, if you missed any of today's show, first of all, we were on Facebook Live, Facebook streaming live video. I can never know how to stupid... The video on the Facebook was going, and Craig was in it, and if you want to watch it, we'll save it, and you can go to Facebook and watch it. Or you can go to our website by the end of the week, or like, what is it? iTunes and SoundCloud and all
Spotify.
Sorts of things. Spotify. No, we're not on Spotify.
No, he is.
Oh, yeah, listen to his music. No, I'm talking about my show. I want to talk about me for a minute, if you don't mind. Tim, can you fire that song, please?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you very much. So that's going to happen throughout the week. So follow us on all of our social media profiles. And
It's playing.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah, there it is right there. I care about you so much.
Yeah.
Maybe you and I should go to therapy. What do you think?
Craig will have to write a horror song about
it. Sure.